do anything. You know, we heard a testimony this morning from, what is her name? Watch Zell. Kathy. From Kathy about what God did for her with the kidney stone. Thank you. And we all could go around the room and give testimonies of something we know God has did for our lives. That He's watched over us. He's protected us. We walked away from things. He's supernaturally spared us. He's healed us. He's made a way financially. Whatever. We could go around the room and say what God has done. Declare His goodness. And so I want us to understand that we need to still rely on God and trust Him that He can still do anything. That no matter how big the giant is. And you know how we get to that point? We have to feed our faith. We have to feed our faith. What happens, we don't feed our faith enough. We listen to everybody else and what they say, and we don't feed our faith. Therefore, we don't have what we need to accomplish what we desire. And so we'll talk tonight about God can do anything. Are y'all cold? Are you cool? Are you okay? Yeah, it's getting a little bit cool in here. So it was hot. It's because Melanie walked in the room, but it's gotten cool back down a little bit now. Turn to Romans chapter 3. We'll start in Romans chapter 3. We'll read a few verses here. Romans 3, and we're going to be in verses 17. Let's see. Did I get that right? Romans 3, yeah, 17. You know what? I've got the wrong scripture up there. I typed in, I think, the wrong scripture. It's Romans 4, so the scripture's not going to match up there, Christian. This Christian. We got three Christians in the building tonight. So, yeah, Don says a Christian too. That's good to know. We're going to actually be in Romans 4, so the Romans isn't going to match. I'm sorry, I put the wrong chapter up there in the wrong verses. We'll be in Romans 4, beginning with verse 17. So has everybody found it? I want you to follow along. Romans 4, verse 17. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And being fully persuaded or convinced that what he had promised, what God had promised, he was able also to perform. There's two key points in this passage I want to point out. Verse 19. He considered not his own body now dead. We can replace that with whatever we're battling right now. I'm not considering my own situation. I'm not considering how it looks. I'm not considering what the devil tells me. I'm not considering what circumstances dictate. I'm not going to look at what I see with these eyes, for these eyes look through human vision. But I'm going to look at my God, who is bigger and stronger and greater. And as Romans says, working all things out for good for me, whether I see it or whether I don't. Many times we get to this point and all we see is what we see in the mirror. We stop at that circumstance. I consider my circumstance too big for you, God. Now, I believe you can help Don, but you really can't help me. I believe you can heal that one, but God, I don't think I'm a candidate. And we stifle the faith. We stifle the power because we're considering what's in front of us instead of who is in us. We need to consider who is in us. We are the redeemed. We are the children of God. We have been born again with incorruptible seed. We have an inheritance. We are a holy nation, a peculiar people. We are ambassadors for Christ. We are more than conquerors. We are above and not beneath, the head and not the tail. We are God's chosen, ordained, sanctified, set apart, justified forevermore people. I think He can take care of us. And I think He can heal us and help us and save us and deliver us.
if our faith will be in Him and not in what we are seeing. Circumstances have a powerful pull because we don't think we can get through it. I can't get past it. I can't get beyond it. It's too big for me to press through. It's standing in my way and I'm afraid. That's when we look at the size of our God, not the size of our problem. And we're like Abraham, who at 100 years old, and Sarah's womb was dead. She could have no more kids past childbearing days. But the angel restored her. God restored her. God restored him. And they conceived a seed in their old age when it shouldn't have happened, but they did. Luke 1:37 says, all things are possible with God. All things. Remember, Mary was carrying Jesus, of course, the virgin birth, and then Elizabeth's womb had been opened up and was carrying John at the same time. And they're meeting each other. And they both are carrying child, and neither one should have been in the natural. Neither one should have been carrying children. But the word says all things are possible with God. There's nothing God isn't able to do, fix, repair, or restore. Rodney already touched on a little bit a while ago. There's nothing He can't change. There's no circumstance He can't move out of our way. But our faith must be in God. It's in God that I trust. It can't be in man. It can't be in your money. It can't be in your power or your position. All that fades away. God is wanting a people to depend on Him and fully trust Him again, saying, you, God, are able. I can step into anything and you can make a way. It can be completely blocked and somehow the light shines. You, God, are my way maker. You are my provider. You are my source for all things. You give me peace when the doctor can't give it to me. You can give me joy when the world can't offer it to me. God, you complete me in every aspect of my life. But we must trust Him and believe and not look and consider our own circumstance. Sometimes things are not in our timing, as we know. If you're like me, we're very impatient people, right? I mean, you walk into a grocery store and you wait in line for 10 minutes and you could have swore it was 2 hours and you're calling them, really? You've been waiting 10 minutes. We want everything now. Taco Bell used to have a clock on their drive thru. They took it down. They couldn't ever keep it, I guess. Used to have a clock that if they didn't get your food to you within like 1 minute or a minute and a half, you got it free. I guess they're giving away a lot of food because the clock is gone. Everything, rush, rush, rush. And sometimes things don't happen on our timetable, but it doesn't mean it's not the process of coming forth. Understand that, church. It doesn't mean it's not on its way. Timing is everything. And if we really believe that God's working all things out for our good, we must also believe the timetable is part of that equation. That it's not, well, I pray Tuesday and here it is Thursday. Preacher said, speak it, boy, and I ain't had, you know, forget this faith thing. You got to get more than 48 hours sometimes. It takes 48 years sometimes. You know, Joe Brown shared a great testimony years ago of a friend that he had that he prayed for many, many years, 40-plus years, to give his heart to Jesus. Guy he worked with up north, up in Ohio. He got a call from him several years ago now. He got a call and says, Joe Brown, guess what? Gave my heart, I got saved. Joe prayed for him. I think he told me like 40 years or long. Wasn't that him you prayed for? Oh, two stories mixed up. Well, anyway, it makes a good one. Okay, 30 years, you prayed for salvation, and he called you up one day. Joe Brown, I got saved. Gave my heart to the Lord. Joe, I remember Joe saying his testimony that he prayed for his cousin every day. He lifted him up in prayer every 30 years. I mean, we quit praying after three prayers. Oh, well, three times, I'm done. Joe prayed for 30 years, and he got a call one day from his cousin. I found the Lord. I got saved. He was an older man, right? So, our timing is not God's timing. Doesn't mean God's not working, God's not doing something on our behalf. We just got to trust Him. We got to truly trust Him. God, in your timing. Am I going to let my 10-year-old Ashley go to a high school party? No. Because she's not there yet. Would I let my 16-year-old James? No. Would I let Kristen? Yeah. Everything's in timing. One day Ashley will be in high school, but she's not now. She's in her last year of elementary school. She'll be in big middle school next year. The big bad middle school. Then she'll go to high school. And then wherever, college, whatever she decides to do. She keeps trying to kick me off the wagon. She's been saying this a lot lately. Dad, don't worry. When you're going off the earth, I'll take the church over. I got it.
Ashley, really? Yeah, I've got it. I'll take it. Don't worry. I'll handle it. When you die, I've got the church. She said, one day my name will be on that side. She's trying to kick me out. But I'm glad she's got my back. I appreciate that. Everything's in God's timing. Does it make sense Abraham would have a seed at 100 years old? Wouldn't you have thought he wanted it? God, I appreciate it, but you know what? It sure would have been nice about 40 years ago, 50 years ago, if you could have done this for me. I'm 100 years old. My God, I might be dead time he born. I'm 100. But see, that was the seed God gave Abraham. The seed he prayed for, God gave him. It wasn't in the timing maybe he wanted. If my facts are right, I believe it was about 14 years later, after it was prophesied, he actually had the child. So it didn't just happen when the angel said, you're going to have it. It was still many years after that. But he had it, just like God said. He didn't look at his situation. He looked at his God. And he says, God, you're going to give me that seed. I've been praying for that. You know my desire. And God, I believe you are able to perform it. And that's my next point down there in verse 21. I love this. Being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform. Man, we put more faith in what people tell us than what the Word of God tells us. I'll be there. I'll be there Sunday morning, preacher, and I'll have my tithe check waiting on you. Nobody. Aren't you glad God's Word's better than man's? Good gracious. God is able to perform that which he says he will do. We must trust that and just believe it. See, that's what faith's all about. Faith's not comfortable sometimes. Because faith is, I can't see it. I don't have it. But I know God's going to do it. Faith can put us in a place that we don't like because we are tangible people. We like tangible things. We want to see it in our hands. We want to feel it. We want to know that it's there. And faith doesn't work that way. Faith is trusting God. You know best for me. Just like you do with your children. Things you protected them from when you didn't always give them the answer maybe, but you told them, no, I just can't. Well, why not? Trust me, there's things I know. No. You're just being hard. No, I'm telling you, trust me. That's what God does. Trust me. But God, no but God's. Trust me. God is able to do that which he says he will do. Remember when he called Moses out? Did Moses finish the job? He sure did. Remember, Moses went from the wilderness, backside of the desert, so to speak, tending sheep. He was a fugitive from Egypt. God shows up, says, you're the one to lead them out. Huh? The Scooby-Doo, you know. Me? 40 years, he'd been in the desert. God sends a burning bush, says, you're going to lead my people out. Moses goes to Pharaoh. Remember what happened? Time one, let my people go. No. Time two, Pharaoh, let my people go. No. All right. Time three, it's me again. What do you want, old man? I know my people go. No. He had to go back over and over. 10 times he approached the throne, and 9 times he was rejected. But the 10th time he says, I'll let your people go. Go. Just go. Take the animals. Take the gold. Take all you want. Get out of here. You're killing me. Literally. He lost his son to the death angel. So 10 times it took for Pharaoh to say yes. Then they're leaving. But he gets mad. So he comes after Moses with chariots and army going to destroy him. What have I done? I've let all this free labor, all these slaves go. I'm out of my mind. They're not going to win this battle. It's going to cripple me economically and my pride's in a way. They're going to pay for what they've done. So he chases them down. Then we know what happened. They were swallowed up in the Red Sea and God took care of things. They went on. God performed what he told Moses he would do. Through all them years of wandering, they were thirsty. What happened? The rocks gave them water. They were hungry. What happened? Manna was on the ground every morning for them to pick up and eat. The Bible says their shoes didn't wear out. And I love this. The Bible says that there was no sickness or disease among them. No ERs to go to. No
urgent cares. No first aid kits. No x-ray machines. No magic happy pill. God had to take care of them. There was no sickness. Their clothes didn't wear out. They had food every day, water when they were thirsty, shelter when they needed to sleep, protection on their journey, guidance every step of the way. When God says, Moses, you're going to lead my people out of Egypt, he meant it. No circumstance stopped it. A chasing army couldn't stop it. A Red Sea couldn't stop it. Nothing could stop it. A food shortage couldn't stop it. A drought couldn't stop it. Enemies couldn't stop it. Then they went to all the cities. After Moses died, Joshua took over. They began to go to the land, and one by one, victory, 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 victory. Town after town, victory, victory, victory. Just like God said. He performed what he said he would do. Throughout the Bible, we see where God performed what he said he would do. Over and over and over. We need again to rely on our God. I often say the great, we believe this, that he saved us from our sins, saved us from hell, that I'm going to be with him forever. Is there anything bigger than that? Not really. There's nothing bigger than that. I was lost. And you mean because of what Jesus did, this dirty vessel is going to see Jesus and be with him forever. There's nothing greater than that right there. We put limitations on what God can do because the devil attacks our mind with negative thoughts, negative people, weak, non-spiritual people. And I say this all the time. Listen, please do not get counsel or advice from someone that doesn't know the Lord, that doesn't make sense. I don't care how smart they are. There's a lot of smart psychologists and counselors and all, but if they have no spiritual understanding, they can't really help you. Not what you need. Because they're not being led by God. The Bible even speaks to surround yourself with wise counsel. It's common sense to know what he's talking about, people that are believers, people that know God. Because they can't relate if you don't. God's ever form it. Turn to Psalms 115 with me. Now that chapter is right, I believe. Psalms 115. Hit Psalms for me there, Christian. Click on Psalms. Little arrow. Or just do that. There you go. All right, Psalms 115. Now unto us, O Lord, not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory, for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. Wherefore should the heathen say, where is now their God? But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. Now he begins to talk here about the other gods. I love how this is worded through here. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. They have hands, they have noses, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet they have, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throat. They that make them are like unto them. So is every one that trusteth in them. O Israel, trust thou in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Try to make a point, I would think. Ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. Why? He is their help and their shield. See what's happening here. Readdressing, God is your help and God is your shield. These other gods, other powerless sources, they can't speak, can't walk, can't talk, can't help you, can't touch you, don't hear you, they have no life, in other words. There's no life in those. There's only life in our Lord. Our God is alive forevermore. He hears everything we put before Him, and He cares, and He loves us unconditionally. We have a God we can expressively feel upon our bodies. There are so many times that happened to me tonight, it's kind of a, I know you're going to think it's in my head. You're going to think, oh, yeah, whatever. You just haven't worn them. Yeah, you're just saying that, Pastor. But I'm not. There are times when my hands are lifting the air. It's like I feel hands holding me. Have you ever, anybody else ever experienced that? It's like I feel a presence holding my hands on the other side, touching me right there. It's an amazing thing. I can't really explain it other than just the hand of God, I guess, holding mine. But man, to know I can expressively feel those things, that I can feel His presence. Melanie said this morning, if I can share what you said this morning, that I was when I was praying for the folks at the altar, when I was praying for those of you that came to the altar this morning, Melanie's on the keyboard playing, it says she felt this brush. Was it a brush? You said you felt like a brush feeling? Come on down her whole right side. It was so powerful, it was so strong, it distracted her for a minute from playing. I mean, she actually was, it threw her off, like, man, just a brush across the whole right side. The presence of God. It's not ghost. Ooh. Huh? Nothing to be fearful of. But a wonderful experience of God passing her way. Just touching her, brushing her. I love being able to expressively feel the presence of my God. Because my God does that for us. If we'll allow Him to. And there is nothing to be afraid of, as she said, of allowing God to touch you whatever way you want Him to touch you. Because you're just different when it happens. You're different. Love feeling that presence. There's times I get chills. There are times I just feel just a wave of just go over my whole body. It's amazing. Why? Because my God's alive. And you know what? My God's alive enough to visit me personally. The presence of God is so omnipresent. It can be in this sanctuary, and if it wanted to, simultaneously touch every person at the same moment. Man, that's a powerful thing. My God's alive. Nothing I say falls on deaf ears. I may not get the response I want. I may not hear what I want to hear from God. But I've got to trust He's got it in His little box, and He's working on it for me. He's in the kitchen cooking. Just not pulling the dinner plate yet, but it's cooking. I'm just waiting for Him to ring the cowbell. Come and get it. Got it ready. We don't have a cowbell, by the way. Is that what you call it, cowbell? The triangle. Yeah. Dinner bell. That's what I'm waiting on, Him just to ring that. But He's cooking it right now. Church, He is unfolding our lives before us, before we get there. And telling us to trust Him. He's going to do what He said He's going to do. If He has given some of you visions or dreams, or He's spoken specific things into your life, hang on to that. Trust it. Trust it. It's going to come to pass. God does not lie. His word is true. And when God speaks something, it can't be changed. It is spoken. That's good news. Verse 12. The Lord hath been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. The Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. That's a nice verse to highlight. The Lord will increase us more and more, you and your children. You are blessed of the Lord, which made heaven and earth. The heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's. But look at this next part. But the earth hath He given to the children of men. This earth's a gift He gave us. This earth He has given us as a gift. He's made it. He's created it. And it's in His power and control always. Do not fear what scientists say. Do not fear what is to come. This earth is in the hands of the Lord. And we are too. And there's no asteroid or flyby meteor or some great future scientific apocalypse theory that's going to destroy the seed of God. We are in His hands forever. And we are safe. just like when you're a child. If you can just be in your mama's arms, you're safe. That's all that matters. No matter what's around you, if mama's got me, I'm okay. As scared as Zoe gets in any situation, if she sees you, I bet everything's fine. I'm fine. No matter what's happening. You could be in your living room and all the stuff going on in the front yard, but if she's in the living room with you, she's safe. We are safe in the Lord. Do not fear. God is going to do what he said. And we each have an inheritance that we are going to walk into just like God said we would, church. I'm not going to die. That's a promise from God's word. I have everlasting life. I'm going to go on and on and on. It's like that song. I'm going to go on and on and on forevermore. I don't stop living ever. Once I'm born again, we don't stop living. We keep living on and on and on. God is able to perform anything that he says. The dead praise not the Lord, neither any that go down in silence. But we will bless the Lord from this time forth, forever and evermore. Praise the Lord. We will bless the Lord. We're called to praise, we're called to worship, we're called to bless, we're called to exclaim, we're called to exhort, we're called to serve. Because he served us at Calvary and changed everything. If you read Hebrews 11, and that's your homework assignment this week, I don't normally give homework, but I want you, if you can, to read Hebrews 11, called the faith chapter, and read all those stories, all those people, what God did in their lives through faith, through faith. Through faith. Through faith, Gideon this. Through faith, Noah this. Through faith, Abraham this. Through faith, David this. Through faith. Everything was through faith. God performed on their behalf. And he still does perform on our behalf. And do you realize that the needs we have are just as important to God as what they had? Just important. You may find yourself in a lion's den, not a natural one, but a spiritual one. And God can still close those mouths from devouring you. And stop it. He can stop it. God can still slay any giant that stands before you. He can slay it. But our trust must be in him. Our faith can't be in us. Hard to surrender that faith because we want to hang on to it. We want to do it ourselves. But if we believe God can do anything, we got to let him be God. There are things me and Melly have prayed about for, well, together and separately, different issues. I know she has desires and I have desires, and there are things that we have prayed for together and different things that we've not seen come to pass yet, but I believe they will. All in the timing of the Lord. I believe they will. God's got a perfect order for his people if we'll just stay close and hear them and not get ahead of them. God can do anything. But we got to believe it. And we got to trust it. And we got to speak it. I mean, I find myself sometimes speaking a lot of negative things. I used not to speak that way. And when you're raising kids and, you know, family life and just life in general, you start finding yourself saying things you shouldn't say. I'm like, I'm going to change that. I'm going to speak right things into my children's lives, into my home, into the ministry, into my life, right things. Things like, God, you can do anything. My children are yours. The church is yours. My wife is yours. My relationships, everything, God, is yours. You can do anything. Trust him. Trust him. And wait on him. And expect God to show up. God is good and faithful to us. We're just not as faithful and good to him. Put a little something on Facebook today. It said that God loves you. No ifs, ands, or buts. Period. He loves you. He's just waiting on us to love him. If we could just understand, that's why I love that song, the first song they sung, that his love never fails, it never runs out, it goes on and on. That's something that remains, church. His love. You realize at any moment, wherever you find yourself, whatever dark spot you're in, whatever gutter you find yourself laying, when you call upon the Lord, he hears you. And he's faithful to respond to you. Yes, daughter. Yes, son. I'm here. You still want me? Sure. You don't want me, Lord. I stink a lot. I love you. And I want you. And I can do anything. I can take your life that was so bad and make it totally different. I can take your life where you were running so hard away from me, and now you'll be working for me. You know, my old pastor, that's what happened to him. He was running from God, had to call to preach. He was rebelling. He was about 26 years old and had a very bad car accident. It scared him. He said, I was laying in the car at the wreck scene, letting everybody get there. I was scared. I was hurt. And I knew God was trying to get my attention. I knew I had to make a decision. And I remember I told God right then, I'm in. I'll obey. From that point on, he started preaching and has obeyed. He's still preaching. God wouldn't let him go. If he had let him go, where would I be? My parents be? Rodney and Tammy be? People that were a part of his life, Melanie be? All the lives that would not have been affected. But God didn't let go. Because when God calls you, church, when God speaks to you, it is no accident. He didn't get the wrong person. There's no identity fraud. He's speaking to you. That's a great honor that he speaks to you. Man, what an honor. I think it'd be so sad not to hear the voice of God. Not to feel his presence. To continually be in this empty void of just not feeling nothing. Hearing nothing. Seeing nothing. Walking around in some daze of your own existence. And many people live that way. But man, God called every one of you in here tonight. He's called you and spoke to you in some way. And you may be running right now, but you can't outrun the long arm of God. His hand is on each of you. And he loves you. That little sweet girl Cindy's holding, she's asleep at every service. But you know what? That word's getting in there. I like to think of it as she has so much peace, it just puts her to sleep. Now, if y'all started doing that, I'd be a little more concerned. But for her, it's peace. She's hearing that word. Thank you, Lord. God can do anything. Believe it again. Believe it again. Get back that passion. Faith you one time had. I mean, man, some of us used to walk around just, you know, my God, do anything by Joe. My God did. You know my God? You don't know my God? Let me tell you about my God. I mean, my goodness. Let me tell you about my God. My God did this, and my God did that, and my God did this, and my God did that, and my God still do a lot of other things because my God's working and loves me and got a lot of things in store for me. God can do anything. And I am thankful for that. I am so thankful my trust and reliance is not based on my abilities, but it's based on God's authority. God's authority. That sun that's setting right now, that was beaming on Don when we first got here, that sun is the very same sun that God spoke into existence when he said, let there be light. It's hung 93 million miles away all this time. Does it make any sense there's something in the sky, burning gases just bubbling all the time? You can't get too close to it. You get a pretty good tan. It's just bubbling gases. It's explosions happening on this rock. I mean, it don't look very safe, does it? But that's what God spoke. And it's remained there all these years. And it rises on one side, and it sets on the other side, and it never fails. Have you ever seen it rise in the west and set in the east? I haven't. If you have, you aren't sober. It's always rose in the east and sets in the west. The old cowboy movies, they ride off into the west. The sun. The west. That sun has never failed to rise. You never heard it on CNN. Tension. The sun didn't rise today. Special alert. And here's the great thing. Man can't stop it from rising. They can send all they want. Satellites, rocket ships, space stations. We'll make that sun not rise. They can't. We'll get rid of them. God, give me victory. Stand your feet with me if you would. I want to close out in prayer. And I just want to pray for the congregation tonight as a group. Lord, you are a God that can do anything. I pray, God, for increased faith in this body tonight. Increased faith in their soul, deep in their spirit. That as they rise from their bed tomorrow, they will begin to believe you again. That God, you can do anything. And I'm trusting you and I'm waiting on you to bring it to pass. It's your timing, God. It's not mine. It is yours. And I am faithful and I am patient in waiting on you to bring it to me. Increase the faith of each of us tonight. Those things that we have been defeated by, those things we think we have lost the battle. Some in here have already just gave up and says, it is what it is. If that statement has been made, God, correct the thinking now, tonight, to remind them it's not just what it is. I am the Lord your God that healeth all your diseases and taketh away all your iniquities. Remind us again who you are and let our thinking change and our profession change again. That we will speak what goes with your word. For those carrying things that they need to let go of, strongholds or pain or battles or scars, God, remind them this is not how it's going to end. There is a better day tomorrow. There's a better future waiting. The past is the past and the future is yet to come. You are a God of futures and each of us have a future in you, Lord, that will never pass away. Restore our faith again and restore our words that we will speak words that bring you honor and bring you glory. And I speak forth over this body, new victories won, God, new battles overcome, that giants will fall and strongholds will be loosed, and we will have testimony after testimony of what my God hath done. I decree that now and speak it forth in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Amen and amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Y'all be seated for just a minute. Thank you, Lord.